What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones, and it is a pleasure for me to be here. I really appreciate the fact that you're here, and let's get it cracking, man. You know, y'all know y'all can't leave. Yous can't leave. Y'all already know, doors are locked. Ain't no going nowhere. Y'all here, y'all locked in with me, and that's all that matters. So, when is it not an eventful week, man? You got airstrikes in Qatar going on with the escalation of the situation in the Middle East. We don't know where that's going to go. You know, you got some warring nations over there that's fighting an ancient war. And we know, internationally speaking, there are a lot of people who have chosen to interject. A lot of nations, right? America, China, Russia, just to name a few. So we'll see how it goes, right? Just keep an ear on that. Then we also have mass shootings in Colorado going on. And there was also a high profile assassination of a famed conservative extreme right wing conservative by the name of Charlie Kirk, who was, I believe he was at a university in Utah. And, you know, the crazy part about that is how it's being portrayed in the media and how it's going out. They are literally allowing social media outlets to show the moment in which he got hit. And I'm talking about, like, literally show how this man got hit in the neck. Apparently from at least 200 yards. And this was a professional hit, y'all. And you gotta pay attention to this, because a lot of times when you have situations like this, you really don't get to see things unless those who are involved want you to see them. This is some high power shit. So this came from up high. This is something that came from a place. This is like how conspiracy theories are born. You know, this is where they come from. Situations like this, because it's not like Charlie Kirk was that much of a national figure. Most people didn't know him, right? But perhaps he knew some things. Killing him may have served as an example to another faction or somebody else who may have some information that, you know, very powerful people don't want out there. The alleged shooter, supposedly they got pictures of this person, was on a rooftop. They got pictures of him, like people, witnesses saying he ran off. But there's no video of this guy. Just a couple snapshots, and And they found a bolt action rifle with a palm print and a shoe, a footprint in the shape of somebody's shoe out there. Now, chances are, if they left the weapon there, palm and all that, chances are that this is something else going on, because chances are this is not the person, it's not the palm of the person who pulled the trigger, you know. Put your thinking caps on. So this is something more going on. And, you know, I'm thinking, right, because I'm looking at the responses to this. And black people, sometimes y'all just need to stop trying to interject yourselves in the shit that don't have anything to do with y'all. They took him out in the whitest of places. All right, this was a statement. I see people who have like TikTok fame and Instagram fame talking about this whole situation and how they're taking it, and they're sort of superimposing themselves in their situation. Well, I've gotten death threats and all. Man, nobody. This isn't about like some fringe lunatic out there that was in the crowd found this dude around. This was a hired gun. And the fact that that hired gun got away smooth, you know. And, you know, shout out to BJ Zipmore for covering it, you know, a little while now, you know, when he did and talked, you know, he talked about it. But he asked a very important question at the end. Black people, specifically black men, right? Why does this matter to you? What happened to Charlie Kirk? Why does it matter to you? I personally can give a damn about any of this, right? I have such a high level of indifference when it comes to this whole notion, this whole situation concerning this incident, because this is business that does not concern us. And if you watched us on my brother Joseph Ward's channel on the Shoulders of Giants on YouTube, we talked about Charlie Kirk a few months ago, but it wasn't from a standpoint of taking him seriously, right? This dude would go around the college campuses and bully college students in very, you know, methodical ways in which he could manipulate the conversation to make him seem like he was the ultimate authority of of information. It was a non-factor for real, for real. People, yes, the conservative crowds came out to see him, but there are people out here who are far worse than Charlie Kirk. So those conservative crowds pull up everywhere. Every time they have an opportunity, they show up. Especially now, they're empowered. Their guy is in office. So, but I'm tired. I got fatigue from watching Negroes trying to superimpose themselves in the situations that don't concern us. This is a matter that doesn't concern us, black people. You know, you're talking about a white nationalist and white extremist who literally had very little power. Maybe he was trying to build up some, but at this particular time, and you know, and then you got the whole thing with HBCUs were shutting down because of threats to it. Listen, Villanova University a few weeks ago had to shut down because there was an alleged mass shooter on campus. Turned out to be a total hoax. So this is just, you know, like I said, man, black folk, calm down. But I want you Negroes to also understand something. This is why we say none of us out here are that important or that much of a threat to the establishment, because ain't none of us being gunned down anywhere. Not by that. You got to worry about other situations. Which brings me to this whole thing with Donald Trump going to Chicago, right? Now, you already know Donald Trump has sent the National Guard into Washington, D.C. He does have... Washington, D.C. is a city-state. So, because it's a city-state, the president actually has more power and control over that city than the actual mayor, right? So, he was able to establish the National Guard there without having to go through Congress, without having to go through the governor, because there's no governor of Washington, D.C. And, you know, you had the people there, you had people who don't frequent those neighborhoods talking and complaining about the fact that this is the president overstepping his authority and power and so forth. And I'm, you know, but then there's other people that actually live there in those neighborhoods, not the so-called social media warriors, keyboard warriors, or, you know, and those people were talking about how good it felt to not have a homicide in the city in like 3 weeks. So you go 3 weeks without a murder, and what used to be considered the murder capital of the world, not just the city, the world, Craig. And you got people complaining about that. And I'm going to tell y'all, man. So I'm going to get into that, how I feel about it in a minute. So now they talked about taking this particular ploy and deploying it into Chicago, right? Now, there's a lot of different ways you can look at this. But I'm going to let y'all hear something that happened, because you have a lot of the young cats in Chicago, because I refuse to call them YNs, talking about how they're going to respond, right? So I want y'all to hear, this is a take, you know, Corey Holcomb, the comedian, he lives in Los Angeles, but he's from Chicago, right? So I want y'all to hear his take on their response in terms of challenging Donald Trump. And in regards to what will happen if the National Guard shows there.
Reporting live from Hypers Club in Atlanta, 5 Plus News, I'm John Amba. As many embrace for the National Guard to hit the streets of Chicago after Trump would promise during a press briefing last week, several of its residents are now going viral for sending warnings to the U.S. military. Now, these threats and warnings made by several of these individuals would spark responses from many online who would laugh at them for even considering the possibility of Chicago gang members being a threat to the military.
Man, I just seen Trump supposed to be deploying troops to Chicago. You ain't heard about it. Go listen to it on phone number. Gee, that's it. That's finna end bad. That's finna end bad on my mind. If you don't, hey, look, that's finna end bad, folks. It's a lot of ignorant motherfuckers, gang. And you not finna come over there after they done had lawlessness for about 14 years, 14, 15, 20 years. You not finna come over here where we done had lawlessness for all these years and try to come over here with some military bullshit.
Now, according to some reports, the U.S. military is currently ranked the strongest in the world with an index firepower of 0.0744.
Look at this shit the military got going on, y'all. Imagine being at war with the U.S. and you see some shit like this.
Now, for those who don't know, Firepower Index evaluates the military strength based on over 50 different factors, such as manpower, equipment, and financial resources. According to data, the U.S. military dominates in both land and air power, and not to mention is known for having access to advanced technology. On Tuesday night, a part of his 5150 show, Chicago native Corey Holcomb will react to the warnings and threats made by some Chicago residents online to the National Guard. According to Holcomb, he too believes that Chicago's thugs are no match for the military, and he would issue his own warning to those in Chicago who feel differently.
Young brothers of Chicago who on the internet talking about, we ain't scared of Trump, he'll find out what's up if he come here and all like that. Y'all stop putting yourself on blast, little bro. Don't even be talking that, because this dude who is our president, he be watching the internet and he takes stuff personally. You can't go up against
America,
the solving power of these war demons. The United States Army has weapons that can see through your house. They got weapons that look through walls, pop you right up under the bed.
Later on, Holcomb would claim that the move to send the National Guard to Chicago is an experiment. As of this report, the National Guard has yet to officially ascend on Chicago, but the Department of Homeland Security has confirmed it has begun their Operation Midway Blitz, focused on crime by illegal aliens. Now, the mayor of Chicago and other Democratic officials have strongly opposed Trump's latest threats. Specifically, the governor of Illinois will call it intimidation. On X, he would write, "The president of the United States is threatening to go to war with an American city. This is no joke. This is not normal. Donald Trump isn't a strong man. He's a scared man. Illinois won't be intimidated by a wannabe dictator." Now, it does appear that this recent pushback by elected Chicago officials have been effective. On Tuesday night, during an interview with Fox News, Attorney General Pam Bondi would express that Chicago should be begging Trump to step in and that the Trump administration will now be looking to help cities who want them there.
Last two weekends, Chicago, nearly 80 people shot, nearly 20 dead. They don't want the president's help. Why?
That's on them. It's horrific that they don't want President Trump's help. Look what we've done right here in D.C. Chicago should be begging Donald Trump for help to keep Chicago safe. Yet they aren't. So we're going to go into a city. Who wants us there?
The fears that some may have regarding the military being used against its own citizens is also another valid concern, as many see it as an unfair battle. If you can recall, we've seen military-like force used against U.S. civilians back in 1985 in Philadelphia for the bombings of the revolutionary group MOVE.
And I'm going to stop it right there, because that wasn't military force that did that with MOVE in 1985. That was the Philadelphia Police Department. All right? I was here. I was in Philly then. I'm here. So, and I know the MOVE family. I know the Africa family. So that's not how it went down. So a lot of times too, man, and shout out to Hype. You know, this is the Hype Plus channel. Shout out to Hype for covering the story. He's been covering this whole thing with the way it's been going down. But that's not what happened here in Philadelphia. But it you know, what Corey Holcomb said about the America and his weapon. Listen, y'all listen, we I was listening to some of the young brothers out there. And listen, I got love from the young brothers in Chicago. I met a bunch of them. They came here to a conference here in Philly. And, you know, shout out to them. They, you know, they were real good young brothers, man. You know, they don't really want that. Many of them don't want that life. All right. I'm going to say that just up and close and personal talking to them. Many of them don't want that life. They chose God over that life. Many of them became Muslims. I'm not Muslim, but if becoming a Muslim is saving lives, then I want as many as possible to take their shahadas. Okay? That's just what it is. So, now, in addition to that, what I really want to point out to young brothers, for those of you who catch this message, especially those of you in Chicago and all these other cities, in Black community, period, we have got to find a different solution. If you don't want them to come in, because if we don't do anything about what's actually taking place, because it's crazy that if you have 80 shootings in two weekends and 20 people get hit, like, deleted, it's crazy. That's unsustainable. All right. So we have got to fix those problems ourselves. If you don't want government intervention, but I don't have a lot of faith in us doing so. So, but if you're young brothers in Chicago, I want y'all to study what happened in, I believe it was 1967 in Watts, in L.A., in Watts. I want y'all to study what happened in Watts, okay? Because that was when the troops decided to come to the street. They were literally gunning brothers and sisters down for walking into the liquor store, all right? They have weapons, and it was a... what was Gen 8 or something like that? There was a conference that took place in Pittsburgh about a little over a decade ago, maybe longer than that. And there were protesters out there. They used sonic weapons. In other words, they were disturbing these cats' eardrums, their hearing. They were disturbing and disrupting all of that to move the crowd. They don't even have to shoot y'all. They got non-lethal ways of addressing you. They have ways to radiate entire buildings. Y'all don't really... They have been handling the situation with kid gloves. This government, you have no idea the arsenal. And I'm not using this as a scare tactics. I'm just trying to speak reality to you, young brothers. Because, yeah, y'all might have switches and y'all might not be afraid. I want you to start having, forget being afraid. I want you to start having a healthy respect for life. All right? I want you young brothers have, and start to value your own lives. And because I'm just tired of seeing us take these L's, man. I really am. So Philly is just as wild as Chicago, you know, in various different ways, but it's just as wild. So I just need for y'all to understand. Okay. So, you know, and as we've been frequent to do, you know, we now let's switch it up real quick, right? I know I didn't do that like I normally do. So apparently, now you've had a lot of people out here, a lot of especially female pundits who have gotten on sort of the high value man train, and many of them are talking about the qualities. And they say some things that sound good. Many of them come off as therapists, coaches, and so forth. Well, a lot of them are being exposed right now, not just for the, who they are, but some of the things they're saying. And they're being exposed. So there's one in particular who has grown fame. Never, you know, she never really cited any sources or whatever, but she's gotten some fame out of her over the last year or two. And that is a woman by the name of Sadia Khan. And so Sadia Khan, who is currently living in Dubai, she is giving advice about, you know, things that the men of high value want, this, that, and the other. But she has not been able to produce her own high value man. So I want y'all to hear what happened, because apparently she's been messing with somebody's husband. And I want y'all to see what happened. I want y'all to hear what she said. So I'm gonna hold on for a second. I gotta bring this down just a little bit, because I want y'all to hear what she said. This is the ultimate audacity here, right? And I want y'all to hear how fast it accelerates. like oh my god.
What are you going to do about it? I'll suck his dick if you have an attitude. And I can do it today if I want to.
Go on.
And I can do it on your wedding day and your birthday.
Okay, well, we'll see.
I've been in situations where he's been with you in a social setting. He'll call me. What are you going to do about it? I'll suck his dick.
No! Well, damn. Sorry. Tell us how you really feel. Tell us how you really feel concerning that situation with this guy. All right, I have never heard nobody just jump into "I'll suck it." Yo, bruh, that is wild turkey on a different level. All right, that is crazy work. But this is what's happening out here nowadays, man. When in the fact that she's being exposed as a side chick, she had Abba and Preach did a show about her. Well, the brother Abba, you know Abba and Preach from YouTube fame. The brother Abba actually did an interview with her and then checked her credentials. And wow, when I tell you that she's not a psychologist and all this other stuff, this is why I don't let people put labels on me. Because people be like, hey, doctor, professor. No, professor, not doctor, professor. I'm not that, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not that. And I hope that, you know, I just tell people what it is. I have practiced as a mobile therapist in Pennsylvania for the last almost 20 years. So I'm just making it plain, man. I don't want nobody out here trying to assume or assert that I'm out here frauding or whatever. That's why I double check those credentials. But you know, the real meat of what we're going to talk about today is, you know, I'm really, as a person who's been a mobile therapist, I've been in the homes of a lot of families, man. of different races and background, every race and background you could think of, with the exception of Asian homes. I've been in Arab homes. I've been in Latino homes, and I've been in Black homes, of course, working with Black families, and I've been in white families. And when I tell you that when Black people say things like, well, first, let me go back to something else that I was talking about with the whole, well, I spoke on the Chicago thing. It was something else that I said earlier, and sometimes I get off track and I go away from it. This whole Black people and Charlie Kirk, I'm tired of this shit. I just wanted to run that back. Black people, sometimes you are not, you need to, some of you Negroes need to stop trying to have main character syndrome, interjecting yourselves into issues that don't concern you. And many of you don't even understand other cultures that see you as irrelevant. Okay? Yeah, Charlie Kirk said some wild shit, and right before he got hit, he said some wild shit about gangs, gang violence and stuff like that. But it doesn't concern you, Black people. And I only spoke on him to speak of it. All right? So let's get it. I want to also show you that when y'all start saying stuff like, you know, phrases like, only Black people do stupid shit like this. Let me tell you something. All Black people are disrespectful to each other. Only Black people treat each other like this. Let me let y'all hear what it's like when you don't know what other cultures and how they get down. I want y'all to check this out.
"You," my wife casually admitted. "So I left without a word." But she didn't expect what happened next. "Hey, everyone. Before we jump into today's video, I need your help. We've noticed the channel is..."
And I've sped the video up a little bit because... it is a video that you're listening to. You listen to the audio version, but it is a video. I sped it up because I want everybody to hear, you know, I want to be able to get through the whole video. Okay, so let's go.
"Really thought I had a good marriage with Amanda, 29, female. Not like fairy tale perfect or anything, but solid AF. We'd been together almost 4 years, married for 2, and I honestly believed we were doing pretty good. I worked my ass off at my construction management job, making sure we had a nice place in a decent neighborhood, took her out regularly, bought her little gifts, you know, the whole package. I straight up loved this woman. Like, wake up feeling lucky just to see her face kind of love. She seemed sweet too, always making my lunch for work, sending cute texts during the day, planning these small surprises that showed she cared. That's what I thought anyway. This one time when I got the flu real bad, she stayed home from her job to take care of me. Made soup, kept checking if I needed anything, all that stuff. Makes you feel like you've got someone who gives a shit about you, right? But around a couple months ago, things started feeling weird. Not any big thing at first. Just little changes in how she acted around me. She started coming home from her accounting job looking totally drained. Not normal tired, like emotionally empty. I'd ask about her day, and she'd just mumble fine and zone out watching TV. Before, she was always telling me these wild stories about her crazy coworkers or clients, but now, nothing. What really got me worried was how she'd just blank out sometimes. We'd be eating dinner, and I'd notice she wasn't even touching her food, just staring at nothing like her mind was somewhere else completely. When I'd ask what she was thinking about, she'd snap out of it and say, nothing, or just work stuff. Then she'd force this fake smile that never reached her eyes. Babe, is everything okay between us? I asked her one night, after she'd barely said 10 words to me all evening. She looked at me with this weird expression, almost guilty. Everything's fine, Ryan. I'm just going through some stuff at work. You know you can talk to me about anything, right? We're a team. I know, she said, giving me that fake smile again. I just need some space to figure things out. It's nothing for you to worry about. But I did worry. I started paying more attention, trying to figure out what was going on. Was she depressed? Working too much? Was it something I did? I started bringing her little gifts, planning date nights, trying to reconnect. Sometimes she'd seem happy about it, but it always felt forced, like she was putting on an act. Then came the day I heard something that made my stomach drop. I'd come home early from work because we finished a project ahead of schedule. As I was walking up to the door, I heard Amanda's voice through the open window. She was on the phone with her sister, Katie. I just don't know how to tell him, she was saying, her voice all serious. It's not like he did anything wrong. He's a good guy. That's what makes this so hard. Katie was put on speaker, so I heard everything. Just rip the band-aid off. Katie replied, divorce is never easy, but dragging it out only makes it worse. My heart practically stopped. Divorce? What the fuck? I stood there frozen, not sure if I should go in or wait to hear more. But then Amanda started moving around and I panicked. I backed away, got in my truck, and drove around for an hour trying to process what I just heard. When I finally went home, I convinced myself I'd misunderstood. Maybe Katie was getting divorced. Yeah, that had to be it. Amanda's sister was always having relationship drama. It couldn't be about us. We were solid. Maybe not perfect lately, but nothing divorce-worthy. I walked in acting normal, and Amanda was sitting on the couch scrolling through her phone. She looked up and seemed startled to see me. "Hey, you're home early," she said, quickly putting her phone face down. "Yeah, we finished that project ahead of schedule," I said, watching her carefully. "Everything good with Katie?" Her eyes widened just slightly. "Katie? Oh yeah, just the usual stuff with her." I nodded, pretending to buy it. But inside, I was more confused than ever. Why was she lying? And what was she hiding on her phone? The next couple weeks were weird as hell. I kept playing that conversation in my head over and over. Amanda seemed more distant than ever. She was staying later at work, going out more with coworkers she never really talked about.
And I want to be clear, right? So these are like stories off of Reddit that they use the AI generators to you know, convert into these short videos. So I want y'all to understand that they're having relationship problems. He doesn't know where it's coming from. All right, I'm going to let it go on.
I started wondering if maybe she was cheating. I know it's probably pathetic, but I started checking her socials more, looking for any clues about what was going on. But her Instagram was the same old boring food pics and office selfies. Her texts didn't show anything weird when I glanced at them. I tried stepping up my game even more. Cooked her favorite meals, suggested a weekend getaway, even bought her this necklace she'd been eyeing for months.
I want y'all to know, he just went through her phone. All right, that whole I'm checking text, he just went through her damn phone. So y'all get where I'm coming from with this here, right? I just need for y'all to be understand. This isn't about white or black folk. These are white folk having these conversations or having these situations, and they're bleeding out onto to Reddit, which has then made it to YouTube.
She seemed touched, but there was still something off in her eyes, like she was looking at me and feeling guilty about something. That night, I lay awake next to her, wondering if our whole marriage was just some kind of story I'd made up in my head. I kept thinking, what if everything I thought was real wasn't? Then came that Friday night where everything shattered. Amanda said she was going out with work friends for some office thing. Been happening more lately. She'd come home tipsy and go straight to bed. But this night was different. I was half asleep on the couch, watching some stupid movie when she stumbled in around midnight. She wasn't just tipsy, she was totally wasted. Her makeup was all smeared, and she could barely walk straight. "Hey," I said, sitting up. "You good?" "I'm fine," she slurred, dropping her purse on the floor. She kicked off her heels and flopped down next to me on the couch. She smelled like she'd bathed in perfume, probably trying to cover up the smell of all the shots she'd done. "Have fun?" I asked, trying to sound normal, even though seeing her this messed up was making me nervous. "So much fun," she giggled, leaning her head on my shoulder. "The girls are so awesome, so much better than hanging around the office with all the boring people." Then she got this weird look on her face and started playing with my hair. "You know what one of the girls asked me tonight?" "What's that?" I asked, getting even more uncomfortable. She asked if I was happy, like really happy, with my life and stuff. Amanda's voice got all serious suddenly. "Am I happy, Ryan? I don't even know anymore." This was definitely not normal drunk Amanda talk. "I thought you were," I said carefully. She sighed dramatically. "You're such a good guy, you know that? Like, so good that it hurts?" The way she said it didn't sound like a compliment. "Thanks," I said, not sure where this was going. "No, really," she continued, waving her hand around. "You're good. You're stable. You're reliable. Everything my parents ever wanted for me." I felt my chest get tight. "And what's wrong with that?" She laughed this weird laugh. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong with it. That's why I married you. Because on paper, you're perfect." "On paper?" The way she said it made it sound like an insult. She turned to look at me with unfocused eyes. "Can I tell you something? Something I've never told anyone?" I nodded, even though every instinct was telling me to shut this conversation down. "I was never really attracted to you," she said, the words just spilling out of her like she was talking about the weather. "Not even from the beginning. I liked you. I respected you. But that spark thing? That makes you want to tear someone's clothes off? Never had it with you. It felt like someone had punched me in the stomach." "What the fuck, Amanda?" "My family was always on my case," she continued, like I hadn't said anything. "When are you going to settle down? When are you going to find a nice guy? Stop wasting time with losers." She waved her hand around. "Then I met you, and you were everything they wanted for me. And I thought, maybe this is what being an adult is. Maybe passion doesn't matter as much as stability." I couldn't believe what I was hearing. "So what, I was just convenient? A fucking checkbox on your life plan?" "No, no, no," she said, reaching for my hand, which I pulled away. "I do love you, Ryan. Just not the way a wife should love her husband. Not the way I loved..." She stopped herself. "The way you loved who?" I demanded, everything suddenly clicking into place. "There's someone else, isn't there? There's always been someone else." She closed her eyes, and I could see tears starting. "It doesn't matter. He's gone. Has been for years." At that point, I didn't argue. I just froze and listened to her yapping nonsense. "You know," she continued after a minute, her words still slurring together, "sometimes I wonder what my life would have been like if I'd followed my heart instead of my head." But
now, I want you to understand something. And this is why I try to tell all you guys who feel like that, you know, you're going to work on this whole concept of being high value men, this, that, and the other. I want y'all, I really want to drive this home to you. This is, you cannot work yourself into the graces of women. If, and these are not brothers, this is not the black community. This, y'all need to understand the red pill and all that, and MGTOW, men going their own way. All that shit started with white men. The black men didn't have a language. We didn't have a vocabulary for the misandry we were dealing with and how to deal with it. White men long ago checked out. They checked out for basic shit that we let slide, like disrespect, like you know, not being valued. They checked out a long time ago when it came to that. They had no tolerance for that. In fact, there was a time where they would have like hyena or something. I forgot what it's called. But where they were going overseas. And when they were going overseas, they were going overseas for women. They were going overseas to... When they weren't satisfied, they were going marrying Asian women. That's where you get the Keanu Reeves from. They were going into Arabia, the Arab countries, the Mediterranean. That's why you have a lot of Mediterranean actors right now. Arabian actors. They look white. So much that there's a whole TED Talk series in the 90s where white women were talking about how to win their men back, how to become more sexually attractive, how to satisfy their men, how to become more wife. Like this whole trad wife thing, with, you know, it's about the traditional thing. It didn't just start now. This started way back then. I'm going to let it go. So she's already stated, just real quick, just run it down. She's already stated that she made the safe choice with him, which is when these women give you all this list of what a man has to have in order for her. And she starts talking about I need financial stability, and I need a man as a provider and a protector and all this other stuff. That's what this woman is talking about. Like, this guy looked good on paper, but he wasn't the one that made her hot to try. Because the guys that she would do that for, the guys that she would want to rip their clothes off for, they didn't have any rules. Only the guys who she didn't like. Like this guy.
But my parents would have disowned me. They hated him so much. She let out this bitter laugh. They love you, though. Everyone loves Ryan. So dependable. So steady. Each word felt like a knife. All this time, I thought we had something real. Meanwhile, she was just settling for me because I looked good to her family. I wanted to feel it, you know? She continued, staring at the ceiling. I tried so hard to feel the way I was supposed to. And you're so nice to me. Always doing things for me. Making me feel guilty for not loving you the right way. I didn't realize loving your husband was such a fucking burden, I said, my voice shaking. It's not a burden, she said, her eyes getting heavy. It's just not what I thought it would be. Not what I felt with him. Who is he? I asked, even though I wasn't sure I wanted to know. Doesn't matter, she mumbled, her eyes closing. Gone now. Long gone. She passed out right there on the couch a few minutes later, still in her dress, makeup smeared across her face. I sat there in the dark, feeling like my entire world had just collapsed. Everything I thought I knew about us was a lie. Every kiss, every I love you, every night we spent together, all built on bullshit. I was just the safe choice, the guy her parents approved of, the backup plan for when her real love didn't work out. I grabbed a blanket and put it over her, not because I felt any kindness toward her in that moment, but because it was just automatic after 4 years together. Then I went to our bedroom alone and packed an overnight bag. I couldn't stay in that house, not after what I just heard. I checked into a motel a few miles away, didn't even text her to say where I was. Just needed to be away from her and process what the fuck had just happened. I lay on that lumpy motel bed staring at the ceiling, replaying her words over and over. I was never really attracted to you. I couldn't stop wondering who this guy was. This person she'd apparently been comparing me to for our entire relationship.
And I want you brothers to take a lesson from this. I want y'all to learn something from this. All right? This man didn't tolerate that shit. The disrespect. And how many of you tolerate the disrespect when you hear a woman say that, or you try to find a way? Oh, she was just drunk, or she, you know, she was just in her feelings. No, that's when they really tell you how they feel. And this man right here did what so many men who are not of the black community do. If they feel a notion, a level of disrespect, they bounce. They don't stick around for the repeat or the replay. They don't stick around for playing. They don't play this whole concept, this whole thing of second fiddle. Because there'll always be somebody else. You're never your woman's first choice, but damn it, you want to be at least somebody she's attracted to. This is why men are in sexless marriages right now. Because of situations like this. And why would you stay in a sexless marriage? And be honest, and I'm as you get older, sex doesn't become as high a priority as it used to be. Like, you're not controlled by the head between, you know, between your legs. You're more so controlled by the one on, you know, on top of your shoulders, above your shoulders. So, but still, to be placing that type of vice, that type of grip, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. So, you know, we don't play those games. Hold on one second. Hold on. Gotta shut something down. All right. So, this is what I'm saying, right? I'm going to let it play. You know, we running low on time. So, hold on.
I had so many questions, but I wasn't sure I could handle the answers. By morning, my phone had about 20 missed calls and texts from Amanda. Typical panicked stuff. Where are you? I'm so sorry. Please come home. I didn't mean what I said. I was drunk and stupid. Please call me back. I finally texted back. Need some time. Don't contact me for a few days. Then I turned off my phone and just sat there in that crappy motel room, trying to figure out what to do next. My entire marriage, my whole future that I thought I had planned out, it was all based on a lie. She'd never wanted me, not really. I was just the safe choice, the guy who looked good on paper. I called in sick to work for the first time in like 3 years. Couldn't face anyone, couldn't pretend everything was normal when my whole life had just blown up. I needed answers. Needed to understand how I'd been so fucking blind. The worst part? A small voice in the back of my head kept saying, maybe I'd known all along. Maybe I'd sensed that her feelings weren't as strong as mine, that something was missing, but I'd ignored it because I wanted so badly to believe she loved me the way I loved her. Monday morning, I called in.
And that is true. The red flags is there. And as I was explaining to a young brother not too long ago, the red flags are there. It's just that we try to pretend not to see them. But the closer you get to her, the bigger the red flags become. He's always known that he wasn't hers. He was hoping to try to win her over, trying to win her love. But, you know, it's at the end of the day, you know, it comes down to...
Me personally, I wouldn't take this level of disrespect.
I've been sick to work for the first time in 3 years. I couldn't face anyone. Couldn't pretend everything was normal when my whole life had just exploded. I needed answers. Needed to understand how I'd been so fucking blind. I remember that one person who might know the truth. Jen, Amanda's best friend since college. If anyone knew about this mystery guy Amanda was still hung up on, it would be her. I'd always gotten along decent with Jen. Not like we were buddies or anything, but she seemed to approve of me and Amanda together. Would she tell me the truth? Only one way to find out. I texted Jen asking if we could meet up for coffee. Just said I needed to talk about Amanda. She seemed surprised but agreed. We met at this little cafe downtown. Neutral territory. Man, the look on her face when she saw me told me everything. She knew. She fucking knew my marriage was a sham and never said anything. I tried to stay calm, though. Getting pissed wouldn't get me answers. I didn't beat around the bush. Just straight up told her that Amanda had confessed everything when she was wasted. About how she was never attracted to me. How she married me to make her family happy. How there was someone else she really loved. I watched Jen's face the whole time, looking for any reaction that would tell me she was surprised. There wasn't one. This wasn't news to her. Jen tried to soften it at first, saying Amanda did care about me. Just maybe not in the way I thought. Like that was supposed to make me feel better? But when I pressed her about who this guy was, she got all uncomfortable and said it wasn't her story to tell. That pissed me off. My whole marriage had been a lie, and she was worried about betraying Amanda's confidence? I pushed harder, and Jen finally gave me some basics. Said it was someone from before Amanda met me. Someone her parents hated. It ended badly, and Amanda was a mess afterward. Then she met me, and I was stable and kind. And Jen thinks Amanda genuinely wanted it to work. When I asked when exactly Amanda started acting weird, Jen said it was around January. That's when it clicked. January was when Amanda's company merged with another firm. When she'd started having all those after-work events and coming home later, the pieces were starting to fit together. I flat-out asked Jen if this guy was back in Amanda's life, if he was working with her now. She didn't want to answer, but her face gave it away. I knew right then that whoever this dude was, he was back. And that's why Amanda had been so distant.
See, we know. This is why when they say women are better cheaters, no, they're not. It's just we don't go looking for the shit. As men, we don't go looking for whether or not she's cheating. And y'all know that. I'm preaching to the choir right now. you men know, brothers in particular, that you know when the attention shifts, you know when your the affection slips, you know when she's no longer attentive to your needs, no attentive to your desires, when she's no longer interested in making you happy. You know these things. We play too much.
I left that coffee shop with my mind racing. If this guy was back, if they were working together, that explained everything. Her distance, her guilt, those mysterious late nights at work. Back at the motel, I tried to come up with a plan. I needed to know everything. All the lies. All the secrets. Before I could figure out what to do next, I had to understand exactly what I was dealing with. I decided to go back to our house when I knew Amanda would be at work. I didn't want to face her yet. Didn't trust myself to keep it together if I had to look at her. The house felt different now. Like I was walking into a stranger's place. I headed straight for our home office. Amanda always left her laptop unlocked. Another sign of how much she trusted me. Or maybe how little she thought I'd ever question her. I wasn't proud of what I was about to do, but I needed answers. Started with her emails, scanning through work communications, looking for anything suspicious. Nothing jumped out at first. Then I checked her Google Drive and found a folder labeled personal that I'd never seen before. Inside were dozens of documents that looked like journal entries. The first one was dated from 6 years ago, before we'd even met. I saw him today. Derek. He was with some blonde, laughing like he didn't have a care in the world. It's been 2 years since he left, and it still feels like yesterday. Mom says I need to move on. Find someone appropriate this time. As if my heart is just something I can control. As if I can just decide who to love. Derek. I finally had a name. I kept reading, scrolling through entry after entry, watching the timeline of our relationship unfold from her perspective. The entries from when we first met were almost clinical. Ryan seems nice, stable job, good family, polite. Mom already loves him. He's nothing like Derek, which I guess is the point. My heart started aching. And there was one from right before our engagement. Ryan proposed tonight. I said yes. Everyone's thrilled, saying how lucky I am because he's a good guy, crazy about me. But right now, it feels like someone tore my heart out. Still, that should be enough, right? People.
And I just want to get into this because I don't know if we're going to actually get to the whole thing. But I want to get into something. This whole time, fellas, you know this. If her heart's somewhere else, you got to let her go. You got to let her go. It's over for you. Because women aren't really loyal to you. They're loyal to their emotions. They don't have the sense of duty we have. They have a sense, like the old saying goes, a man will sacrifice his happiness for his family. A woman will sacrifice her family for her happiness. And we've seen it over and over again. And this is and then you see other women in the comments justifying, legitimizing this. So when you see clips like this, they're often, well, this is, you know, Reddit, this is a men's channel. So you don't expect to see so many, female responses in these particular conversations because they don't. What I find in these conversations, women don't like to out themselves. So what they'll do is they'll see somebody else's comment. They'll reply to that comment. But they don't want to out themselves. So you'll never get to see their response to what's happened, especially when it's something that holds women accountable. It's just not going to happen. I'm going to let it play on a little more before we call it a day.
We'll settle down for way less every day. Maybe eventually my feelings will catch up and this ache in my chest will fade. It has to. It made me sick to read it. All this time, I thought we had something real. Meanwhile, she was convincing herself to settle for me. I also saw the entries from January of this year. Derek's back. His company merged with ours, and suddenly he's there, in the same building, taking up all the oxygen. He looks the same, but different, more mature. He asked about my life, and I showed him pictures of Ryan and our house, talking about how happy I am. The biggest lie I've ever told. We had drinks after work. Just as colleagues, I told myself. But the way he looks at me, it's still there. That'll.
So she's already cheating. You see, there's nothing innocent about having drinks with somebody that you're physically attracted to. That makes you tingle. I mean, she spoke about this to her husband when she came home drunk on the couch. About the fact that he doesn't make her want to rip his clothes off. But apparently, this guy Derek does. And see, when she's having drinks with him, there's nothing innocent about it. She's trying to lie for her own self-consciousness. And what I mean by that is not necessarily she has a conscience about whether or not she's hurting this guy. She's trying to lie to herself because the lie she tells herself is that she's a self-respecting woman. She's a virtuous woman. So to maintain that personal lie that she has, that she tells herself every day in the mirror, she has to lie to herself in regards to, you know, in regards to this whole thing about this being just an innocent drinks after lunch, after work. There's nothing innocent about a meeting with a man that you can't tell your husband about. Nothing. And the fact that she never told him about him, man, yo, there's a saying for this. The fact that she never told him about this is hold on, wait a minute. I got it in here somewhere. Yeah.
Man, it's wild turkey out here.
All right, hold on.
Electricity. That feeling that nothing else matters when he's around. What am I going to do? I can't sleep, can't eat. All I think about is Derek. Ryan's been so attentive lately, bringing me flowers, planning date nights. It makes me feel like the worst person in the world. He deserves someone who feels about him the way I feel about Derek. Always have. There were more recent entries too, showing her guilt, her confusion, her attempts to recommit to our marriage. But it was too late. The damage was done.
When she saw Derek, she was like,
"You cannot pick that dog.
No.
You cannot pick that dog.
You
cannot pick that dog.
No,
he's sleeping. You cannot pick that dog."
She wanted to pet that dog, all right? And it's like, you know, women, when they want to feel empowered, it's always...
I'm going to be honest. Why when women say, "I'm living my best life," they always go and do some ho shit? Why is the best you could do is be a slut?
And so you see it breaking, coming down, all right? Check it out.
Close the laptop, feeling completely numb. There it was, in black and white. I'd never been anything but a substitute, a placeholder for the guy she really wanted. I took pictures of some of the entries with my phone, then put everything back where I found it. I wasn't confronting her yet. I needed time to think, to plan my exit, because one thing was crystal clear. There was no coming back from this. I went back to the motel and just sat there, staring at the photos I'd taken of her journal. 4 years of my life wasted on someone who was just using me as a stand-in, a backup plan, while she pined for someone else. Every memory I had with her was tainted now. Every happy moment, every vacation, every holiday. None of it was real. Not for her. I just felt empty. Like someone had scooped out everything inside me and left a hollow shell. I didn't know what to do next, but I knew I couldn't stay married to Amanda. Not after learning the truth. That night, I finally called my brother Jake and told him everything. He was the only person I could trust with this shit. He wanted me to come stay with him, but I wasn't ready to face anyone yet. I needed to get my head straight first. "Fuck her," Jake said. "You deserve better than that lying bitch." He was right. I did deserve better. The next morning, I called a lawyer.
His brother's a real one.
It was time to end this sham of a marriage. I just wished I'd known the truth years ago, before I wasted so much of my life loving someone who never really loved me back. I spent the next week planning my exit strategy, met with a lawyer twice, started separating our finances, looked at apartments. I didn't tell anyone what was happening, not even my close friends. I couldn't stand the thought of saying it out loud. Amanda kept texting and calling nonstop. She even showed up at my work once, but I managed to avoid her. I only sent brief messages that I was okay but needed space. She was freaking out, I could tell, probably worried I'd found out about Derek. The lawyer said I had a solid case for at-fault divorce based on emotional infidelity. But honestly, I just wanted out as clean and fast as possible. I didn't even care about getting everything I was entitled to. Just wanted to be done with this fake marriage. After about 10 days of staying away, I decided it was time to face Amanda and tell her I knew everything.
Men of the West stand fierce and unyielding, holding the line today as our fathers did, with iron will and hearts of fire.
I arranged to meet her at our house on a Saturday afternoon. I'd already moved some essentials to a...
I literally played that clip because he did not hold the line. He did not hold the line, all right? And that's why I played that clip. He gave it up. All right.
New apartment I'd found, so I wasn't going to be trapped there. Driving up to the house felt weird as hell. This place I thought we were building together, it was all based on a lie. I sat in my truck for a minute, trying to prepare myself for whatever she might say or do. I wasn't going to let her manipulate me again. When I finally went inside, Amanda looked terrible. Her hair was a mess. She had dark circles under her eyes, and she was wearing one of my old sweatshirts. Classic move, wearing my clothes to play on my emotions. She ran toward me like she was going to hug me, but I stepped back. She launched into this whole speech about how sorry she was, how the things she said when she was wasted weren't true, how she'd been stressed about work and took it out on me. She kept saying she loved me, that she'd always loved me, that she couldn't imagine her life without me. I let her talk herself out, just stood there watching her perform, because that's what it was, a performance. One she'd been giving our entire relationship. When she finally stopped, I told her I knew about Derek. The color drained from her face. She tried to play dumb at first, asking who, like she had no idea what I was talking about. But when I told her I'd read her journal entries and seen the letters, she collapsed onto the couch. For a minute, she just sat there staring at her hands. Then the excuses started pouring out. Derek was just an old flame. Those journal entries were just a way to process confused feelings.
Bullshit. And yo, this is the and I'm going to tell you what she realized. She realized that, and if she could have got away with it, she would have. She realized that she wanted this man to maintain the safety and security, being her security blanket, in this relationship. She wanted him to maintain that. Meanwhile, this whole thing, she was going to smash, like Hulk smash. She was going to let Derek smash, all right? She was literally, but she realized that Derek is not a long-term thing situation. Derek is the dude that excited her. She wanted the excitement in her life, but not at the cost of the stability that she currently had. Fellas, a lot of times you're that stability. You're that guy that provides stability for the house, the home, and all this other shit. And this is why they play house with you. Now, I suppose there's some real ones out there. I just haven't met one. And I know I need to work on what I'm attracted to, but that's a personal thing about with me. I know I'm attracted to the ones that the wrong ones. But I'm working on it. I'm working on me. One day at a time. But what you see with this circumstance and situation, with this dude, is he's figuring out that this woman is using him, as he said, as the placeholder. And as long as the thing is, if he would have let this slide, what the fuck is up with all these alerts and beeps and shit on? Just trying to get through a simple recording. Anyway. So if you understand, if he allowed her to get away with that, it would have just been this guy, Derek. Derek is just right here, right now. There would have been another guy. And she has no problem with giving other men attention that should be devoted to her husband. That's a lack of respect and an absurd amount of audacity that is beyond measurable. You can't even put that to a yardstick. So, gentlemen, respect yourselves. All right. Now, I got one that I'm gonna have to do as a series because it's an hour and a half long. So I gotta probably do it as a 3-part series. This dude was straight black pill. All right. He played no games. And guess what? This particular Reddit story that I'm talking about was based right here in Philadelphia. So, but the shit is cold. But that's about it for this particular broadcast, y'all. Appreciate y'all pulling up, coming through, and spending time with your brother. You know, and like the, you know, get a chance, like it on social media, like it on your favorite streaming platforms. Like I said, catch us on the True Stories Network. You can catch us there also on Fet Life Station at FetLifeStation.com. You know, on Philly Fridays, every Friday on Philly Fridays, we have something. Hopefully, it's something new. All right. But see, you know, I played this clip for you brothers to understand. And, you know, for y'all always say, man, you know, all these other women, they do it too. It's not, some of this stuff is beyond race. This is a Western civilization thing that's been bred upon by the notions of feminism and the women's suffrage and independence movements and this whole sexual liberation push that's been going on. All these things all wrapped into one. This is what's out there right now. And while you have women that are in denial, they're not in denial because the shit is not out there. They're in denial because they know how bad this looks. They know how bad this looks. This is not a good look. All right. So with that said, family, I want to thank you all for tuning in. pulling up. Share this with other people, man. Share this joint with other people. We got to help the channel grow. All right. And shout out to my brother Suave Gonzalez. Shout out to my brother Suave for going down and having not just his picture, right? Because he told us it was a picture. But shout out to him for also having his picture placed in the Smithsonian Institute, a picture, a painting of his. But also, there was a whole room dedicated to his work from when he spent time in Gratisford Prison. So I want y'all to, you know. I want y'all to give my brother a rousing, you know, applause and so forth. All right? So I want y'all, you know, and I thank y'all for tuning in with your brother for another edition of Office Hours. As I always say, brothers, stay resilient, stay strong, maintain your health, and remember, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And with that, I am out of here.